Good afternoon, everyone. We've been studying about the Bible, really, focusing our attention on things with regards to it. And we've been talking about the first lesson was how do we know we have the Old Testament scriptures? And so we spent time talking about how the scriptures were recognized, you know, by those that knew the letters were written, by who they were written. We talked about inspiration of the Bible, the fact that God gave his divine words, and men wrote those words down as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the words that God would have us to know and the words that the right words were used, and we can have confidence in that. And then last week we talked some about understanding some things about different translations, that not all translations are equal, and it's important that we understand how you go about translating a text. And it's not just the Bible, but the Bible, of course, is the most important text, and it needs to be translated in a way that is as God intended. We can't have men getting involved and throwing in their paraphrase, and so I showed any number of different ways and talked about even different versions and where they fit in the different categories. Is it a word for word? Is it more of a paraphrase type version? Is it a little bit of both? The purpose of a translation is to take the original language, understand what that word means, and then find our equivalent English word. And so we spent time talking about that. And this afternoon we're going to raise the question, can we all read the Bible, understand its instructions, go away and do it? And that's why I kept saying Brother Crosland started going down that. And I said, well, now wait a minute, don't you preach my sermon? And Dale was saying some things. I said, now wait a minute, you don't get into my sermon this morning. And that's what I was talking about, where and that's just in jest, because of course we're going to talk about the same things because we're all studying the same scriptures. But it is important for us to understand that that is a question that can be answered. And the answer is yes, 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 we can. And let me put that back up there. We can all read the Bible, understand its instructions. We can go away and we can do what God would have us to do. I will put an exception. You know, there are those that just, they were born without the mental capacity. That's not what I'm talking about. If you are a person of any educational level or anything, you have the ability to understand its instructions, go away and do it. Now, how can we do that? And the answer is yes, we can. And the reason is because God has given each of us the ability to reason, the ability to comprehend, the ability to do. Because he gave us our intelligence. He created us with it. It's different than any of creation. I made that point this morning. God's creation is not made in his image, where he gave us his likeness. And the key point there is he gave us a soul and he gave us the ability to reason. A dog will bite you because it's a dog. But God gave me the ability, though I want to bite you, and though children will bite one another, they can learn. You don't bite people. And so he gave us the ability to reason. But unfortunately, many have fallen prey to the terrible lie that unless you are of a select few, maybe because you have you've been religiously trained, or, and I'm thinking of the priest or the pastor, as the denominations falsely use that term, or maybe you've been educated in some type of seminary school to become a minister, or that you're a preacher, that unless you have that special few, then you can't possibly understand the Bible. And that simply is a lie. That is a lie. Because God has given all of his people the ability to read the Bible. And I quote Ed Harrell here, who said, reach a common, rational, and public agreements about meaning. And by public, he means things that you can share. And you actually said that in your prayer, that what we learn tonight we can understand it, is what you're talking about, make application, but then actually share it with somebody. In other words, you can share it because you can, they can comprehend what you understand. They have the ability to do that. And so you have the ability to share this. And so God has given each of us the ability to do this. And so He's given us common sense. And that's something that there's a lot of books out right now that are common sense is dead and those types of things, or we say they lack common sense. And basically, you know, God has given us the ability to read a text and come to a sound, reasonable, and logical conclusion. He's given us the ability to do that. And we count on that to be able to understand scriptures. And I want to mention here a truth that I've mentioned a number of times. And I know that statement, God has given us common sense to read a text, come to sound and reasonable and logical conclusions. In other words, understand what it says and do it because of this passage that I keep bringing up. Jesus said, "He that rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." The word is what you're going to be judged by. You may not believe in me, but you will be judged by the word. And I, therefore, can do what? Comprehend the word. So the Bible is not just a bunch of mystical things that, unless you've been trained, you cannot understand it. So when we're studying through 1 Corinthians, you can understand what you're reading. But God would have us to study diligently, wouldn't He? And so it's also not a lazy thing, is it? And it's something that we should be doing on a daily basis. And we should be learning how to do this in a very solid way. And so it wouldn't be fair for God if it was not, it wouldn't be right if we could not, in fact, comprehend and understand and do the scriptures. That wouldn't be just or fair. And so we know that God is just and God is fair, and that we can read the scriptures and we can do them. And yet, what's going on? Well, we live in a very disturbed time, don't we? There's all this religious confusion. There's chaos and differences. And it's apparent that most people do not believe that we can all understand the Bible alike, because they go and practice something different, or they say, well, that's the way that you look at that, and that's not the way I interpret that. And so there's all of this religious confusion. And so a lot of times when we're trying to share the gospel with somebody, it may be somebody that has connected some dots and says, why I'm reading my Bible, I'm understanding it, why are we having all this confusion? We've got somebody who's, again, what they're doing is they're starting to rely on the Word of God. And not the, you know, just feed it to me, Pastor, just feed it to me, whatever. And never should you ever convey or have that idea with regards to me. That's why you have to study the Scriptures. That's why you're encouraged to take out your Bibles and follow along. But we live in a very disturbing time, and there is a lot of division. The education system is teaching students that each individual has their own understanding of truth. That's subjective. We've talked about objective and subjective truth. And think about this, that you each have your own understanding of truth. That's why a man can identify himself as a woman, enter the Olympic boxing competition, go and beat up on women, and walk away with a gold. Because of the disturbing inability to determine, is that right or is that wrong? Now, you understand that we're operating under the understanding, and you and I do, that God's Word is true. But we're living in a disturbing time. And that's as disturbing because we can read. Look at Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4. We can read the Scriptures. We can read what God has said on that subject, and we can all agree upon what He said. And here's what He says. This is Jesus. This is God. Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? There are two sexes. The Bible does not talk about changing sexes, sexes being fluid where you can just move from one to the other. It's like we've gone insane. But what do you expect when each is left to their own understanding of truth? Well, this is what you're going to get. And yet Jesus said when God created man, he created a male and a female. And scientifically, that can be proved because of the chromosomes, correct? And so that's one of the arguments. It's like, well, wait a minute. You're either born a male or you're born a female. But I don't like what I was born. I'm going to change that. And the parents are going, you know, we're not going to tell them. We're just going to let us grow up one day and they'll tell us what sex they want to be. I don't think parents that think this way should even be, well, let me be careful here, but that's cruel. That's wrong. I mean, what's up with that? So can we read Matthew 19:4? And all of us read that and understand that there is a male and a female, and that's all that God created. I think we can. And that's just a very simple way to make that point. But do you see how important it is to understand that we have God's Word, that it has been preserved, it came into existence because holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit? So we've talked about that. If we can lay that groundwork, then when we read that, we can know that we have the truth. And you can also see how important it is to have a good translation of the Scriptures that do not have man's interpretation of what he thinks God meant. Brother Alton Bailey has come up today. In a last year, here at the building and the study that's conducted here, he said, I want to talk to you about what I've learned about the Queen James Version. And he held up a copy of it. The Queen James Version, also called the Gay Bible, is an edit of the biblical text done in the name of preventing homophobic interpretations. To accomplish this goal, the publishers printed a Bible in which all negative references to homosexuality have been removed. The Queen James Bible was published in 2012. It's based on the 1769 edition of the King James Bible. Can you believe it? It's out there. So is a good translation important? Can we just do what we want to do with God's Word? That's why we talked about that. So what we're going to consider this afternoon, again, is that question, can we all read the Bible, what is written, understand it, go away, and actually practice what it says? Well, there are a few good examples of what we're talking about. I'll just blank that for a minute. The charismatic believers at times, here's the way they approach the Scriptures. And I remember one time watching a video somebody wanted me to watch. I believe the text was John chapter 2. I can't remember all the details, but basically this is John chapter 2. We've got a 2. Jesus was 3 days away or whatever. That's 3. We've got 5. And came up with somehow some number. And because of that number, he then proceeded to make some point. Here's another example. A man was invited onto a show, a charismatic. He informed the host, he said, I have a life verse. And my life verse is Matthew chapter 19, you may still be there, verse 26, which reads, with men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. So that's his life verse. And the reason it's his life verse is because he was born in 1926. Well, the host goes, hey, I was born in 1934. What's my life verse? Let's look at that. What do you see? There's no verse 34. So he said, wait a minute. Luke's got 19 chapters. Let's flip over there. So he flips over to Matthew chapter 19, and he gets to verse 34, because he's born in 1934, he's looking for his life verse, and it says, and they said, the Lord has need of him. Ah, the Lord has need of him. And his wife said, you can't use that verse because it's talking about a donkey. Now, understand the point. Can we approach the scriptures and understand the scriptures with that type of approach? And of course we can't. And so the classic example that you may or may not have heard is when a man decided, and some do this, they go like this, and they go, and I talked to a lady one time that if she was reading and she comprehended something, the Holy Spirit had enlightened her. Well, you and I read the scriptures and go, wow, I comprehend that. No, that was the Holy Spirit enlightening her. So if she could read some other verses and not understand, well, she just wasn't being enlightened. So there's a lot of people that just do this method. So the classic example is Matthew chapter 27 and verse 5 says, it says, he went out and hanged himself. Well, I didn't like that one, so I went like this, and I landed at Luke chapter 10 and verse 37 where it says, go and do likewise. Well, I didn't, so what do? I do the next one, and the next one it says, and what you're going to do it quickly. And there's a lot of people that approach the scriptures with that type of mentality. And so that's why when we talk about understanding the scriptures, you have to understand the context, which goes back to, honey, you can't use this life verse because in the context, he's talking about the Lord has need of the colt that they were sent for. He's going to ride it in his triumphal entry. And so you've pulled this out. So that's the way a lot of people do. And they cling on to things and they pull things. So we have to read the scriptures with the intent to understand the meaning of the text and what the divine author intended. And I say that intentionally because who is the author of all of the scriptures? God. Did he use all of these some 40 men? Yes. Yes, he did. And I've already talked about how he could use their backgrounds, he could use their vocabularies, but the Holy Spirit chose the words and those men wrote them down the way God wanted it. So he's the divine author. And that's why it is in harmony. That's why it has a story from the very beginning, and though there be thousands of years between Genesis and Revelation, it still is one continued story, and it is a book that is accurate in so many ways. So the question then is, and I want to ask, how many of you you've heard of the word hermeneutics? Show of hand, you've heard of that? Do you know what it means? Well, it's a word that, you know, there's a lot of things that men come up with. It's kind of like a formula, but there's a lot of words that come up that is a way to explain. But here's, if you open up the dictionary, it says the study of the methodological principles of interpretation, such as the Bible. What is the method? How do you go about interpreting a text? And specifically, we're talking about the scriptures. So it is, what's the method, hermeneutics? What is the method? And that's a word that somebody came up with. What is the method that you use to understand or interpret a text? And the thing about this is that you don't need to know hermeneutics and all that. It's just you'll hear that word. Is there a way or a method that we can study the scriptures and have a shared meaning? In other words, is it left up to, well, I want to do it this way and I want to do it that way, and so you have, well, our old hermeneutics, you know, the hermeneutics way, the method is wrong, we need a new one. And so you've probably heard those preachers that have gone off astray because they say we've made up things we're going to eliminate, especially specifically they don't like the apostolic examples, and so they want to kick those out, so they'll come up with ways to kick that out. But what I want you to understand about this is it doesn't matter what the text is. You know, there are ways that we read something and we understand it and we go out and we do it, and we can know what the text is saying. But what about our culture? Well, it's in the middle of a culture war. We're coming back to that. Nothing really has meaning. Everything is based on a personal, my experiences, and what I conclude. I've concluded I am a female, and how dare you tell me that I can't swim against women and win all of their trophies? How dare you tell me I can't do that? Because I am using my own understanding, and everything is how I feel. And what this has led to is the war that we're in and the raging that's taking place. And really what it evolves around is there an absolute truth? Can we say you can't do that? Because you're not a female, you're a male. And what happens is, I can't, And so what we've done is we've been backed into a corner to where you just got to zip it and keep it closed. And so this war is raging. And yet, the question that we want to answer is there a way or method that we can all study the Scripture and have a shared meaning? Well, you look around religiously, you say no. You look at the culture who's saying there isn't any kind of absolute truth, and you'd say no. But the answer is yes. Yes, we can. We can read it, we can understand it, we can come to the same understanding, and we can do it. Because of the method to interpret a text is the same way you interpret any text. And so I would like to, if anybody's interested, I can direct you to this. A member of the church, apparently this is a skit, something of that nature, that really addresses the point of you read a text, you can understand it, and it's just by using your common understanding of reason and what the text is telling you, which is the way you approach the Scriptures. And it doesn't take anybody that's a special person. We've already established that. You don't have to have a seminary degree. But it's real easy to just say, I don't have a responsibility because I can't understand it. They have to tell me. You see, that's not the way God intended this. So we've dealt with that. So there was a video, and a member of the church said, this has been circulating around, and they said this teaches the principles of hermeneutics, the way you interpret a text. One of the replies, Frank Jamerson used to preach out at Midway. I think most of you may have known Frank Jamerson. His son is down in the Birmingham area, Randy, I believe. And Randy commented, he said, David Tant used to do this skit that this man did. And it was a professor at a religious college. And it's about Little Bo Peep. And this isn't meant to be comical, but basically he preaches to show how preaching is supposed to be done, where he's going, Little Bo Peep! And can I get a Little Bo Peep? And so it has that about style of preaching. But in that skit, he's also showing how you interpret text. And here's how you do that. Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep. And she does not know and doesn't know where to find them. Leave them alone and they'll come home wagging their tails behind them. If Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep, it only stands to reason she doesn't know where they are. Do you see that? There's nothing else to conclude. If Little Bo Peep does not know where her sheep is, she can't possibly find them. Can you read that and make that understanding and interpret it that way? Can we all not understand that? And so through the skit that I'd love for all of you to see, one, you'll get a good laugh, but it's driving home these points. But leave them alone, the text says. And but leave them alone. The text says you can understand that. The text says that little Bo Peep has lost her sheep. And the text says she doesn't know where they are. What else can you comprehend but she has to leave them alone? She doesn't know where they are. So how can she possibly do anything but leave them alone? Do you see the point? There's nothing else she can do. She doesn't know where they are. And then they'll come home, leave them alone. They'll come home. And there, with the preacher part, he says, there's hope. There's hope. If you leave them alone, they'll come home. So that's that preacher part, pulling in hope. But you got hope. But then the final point, leave them alone and they'll come home wagging their tails behind them. If a sheep comes home and they're wagging their tails, where else would they be wagging their tails but behind them? So do you see that? So that's how we interpret text. We read it. It's comprehended. We understand it. And so how do we understand the Scriptures? And these are all lessons in and of themselves. I brought lessons on just commands, on examples, and on necessary inferences. But when you read a text like Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14, where Noah is told to make the ark of gopher wood, what was he supposed to do? Make it of gopher wood. And so if I read this text and it says Noah, then in verse 22 says that he did everything that God told him to do, what can I conclude? He made the ark out of gopher wood. The size, the pitching, the floors, the door, the window, the animals. He did it just like God told him to do, because God gave him a command. I want you to look at the Luke chapter 10, which is where our scripture reading came from. And we're not going to study the parable of the Good Samaritan, but what Dale read for us is, a lawyer asked, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus asked him, "What is written in the law, and what is your reading of it?" Now, what does Jesus imply? You can go read the law, and you can understand it, and you can do it. And so what does the man do? He says, well, the law says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus answered rightly, do this, and you will live. You read it, you comprehended it, do that. Do that. And so he wanted to justify himself. And so he says, well, who is my neighbor? So Jesus tells a parable, an earthly story. There's a priest, a man that goes, he's headed down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He gets beat up along the way. He's been robbed. Priest comes by, doesn't do anything. Levite comes by, doesn't do anything. But the Samaritan stops, cares for him, bandages him up, gets him to an end. And Jesus says, well, you tell me who's the neighbor. And he said, well, look at the answer. He says, he who showed mercy, verse 37, on him. Then what did Jesus say to do? Go and do likewise. You understand, go and do. You can read the law. You know what the law says. Now go and do that. You can follow commands. You can find the Scriptures. It says, we talked in our Bible class, God says, don't steal. Can we all be unified around that truth? Can we be of the same mind? Can we then, if one of us is a thief, can we not then all say, well, now, wait a minute. The judgment of all of us is, that's wrong. You need to repent of that. Because we can all comprehend it And we can share it because we can comprehend it the same. Now look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. If you look at verse 25 beginning, chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, do not sin, do not let sun go down upon your wrath. Do not give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Can you understand that? Can you understand those words? Can I understand those words? Can I then read that text and say, you know what, that's what I'm going to do. God told me this is what I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm going to do. That's the way you read biblical text. God says to do that or don't do that. Then I do that or I don't do that. And then we've got, well, what about examples that we find? This Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 to 19 is where we can read where the church at Philippi sent and helped Paul, gave him the things that he needed. Now, there's context in there where he says, I've learned to be content. You know, like, I want you to understand that it had been okay if you didn't, so there's teaching there. But he praises them for helping him, because that's what's supposed to happen. So how, in the example, the church gave it to Paul to help him? The church to the preacher. There's a biblical example. Can we read that and do that? Can we imitate that? Can we read what they were doing in the New Testament and say, well, that's what we'll do? So what happens when we can't find an example of churches combining their funds through some type of organization, or maybe a sponsoring church where one church, everybody sends to it, and then they send the money to the preachers? Well, what happens if we can't read that? We don't have an example. Well, some say, what does it matter? Well, can we not read the Bible and do it the way the Bible says? Let's just do it that way. And we can all come to that conclusion. We can read the text, we can understand it, and we can do it. And so we think about necessary conclusions. And I think that some of that is illustrated in the little Bo Peep and the fact that what else could you conclude? If she doesn't know where they are, of course she can't find them. And if a sheep comes back wagging its tail, it's not going to be wagging out of its mouth. You know where it's wagging from, behind them. Not in the front, but in the back. And so God commands us to assemble. Here's an example, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, we're supposed to give. Ephesians 5, 19, we're supposed to sing with teach and admonish one another. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, on the first day of the week they broke bread. Now, doesn't logic and common sense dictate that you need a place to meet? If you're supposed to worship, assemble together, it does no good for us to say we're going to assemble, but nobody knows where. One's over here and one's over there. It's the same reason we put a number. It doesn't make any sense for us to all sing different songs. Things are done decently in order. But God gave a command. And we can conclude that, well, if we're supposed to come together, we need a place to come together. So in the Scriptures, the other passages is in the upper room, Acts 20 and verse 8. Whose upper room? We're not told. Was it a storefront? We don't know. Somebody's upper room? We don't have a clue. They had a place to meet. Or Priscilla and Aquila, the church met in their house. So you can meet in a house. Or in Acts 2 and verse 46, when the church began, they were meeting in the temple on a daily basis. They were getting together and learning. So the one, so you read something and you just, you use your common reason, and you can read that and go, well, that's right. And I can read that and go, well, that's right. And it doesn't take, as we're going to see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it doesn't take somebody with a high IQ, because Paul's going to say, not many of those high IQ people will obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, because they're going to rely on their intellect. This is all foolish to them. So this is how we understand, that we interpret anything using this type of reasoning. What does it say? Well, that's what they did, and that's what we should do, and so forth. Specifically, the Bible, we're talking about good comprehension and good reasoning, and then just doing that. So when we ask the most basic question about salvation, what must I do to be saved? Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be condemned. Can you read that and just go and do that? It seems very basic. We're going to see where Paul says, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you. See there, they weren't bought, you know, or Jesus didn't baptize. See, baptism wasn't important. That wasn't Paul's point. We're going to be able to understand what Paul was saying. And why would Paul say he doesn't want to baptize anybody when he was told, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins? Acts 22 and verse 16. Or when Jesus said, to love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Can I read that and do that? Should I read that and do that? Well, that's Jesus says, telling you this, but I say unto you, with all the authority, that's what I want you to do. I want you to love your enemies, and here's how you do it. But I don't like them, and they're mean, and all this stuff. Can we read that and do that? Of course we can. We can all understand the Bible. We can all do that, and we can all share that. And the world needs this. Our country needs this more than anything, to be able to read the Bible and just say, that's what it says, and I can understand that, and that's what I should do. Well, you might be here tonight and you're not a Christian. We want to encourage you to put Christ on in baptism. Or maybe you're a child of God and things are amiss or there's error in your life. We want to pray with you and for you. You don't want to go away not having done what you need to do to be right with God. Let's all stand and sing our invitation song.